Hello and welcome to this special holiday week episode of the 3Bid League podcast. As always, I am your host, Tyler, joined by Matt. And you know what? There wasn't much in the way of non-conference the week before Christmas, so we're going to switch it up. We're going to have a little bit of a fun story time this episode. I'm going to be joined by two of the best and most recognizable fans in this conference. Coming up, we got the legend, the hatted man himself from St. Bonaventure, Captain Beer. But we're going to start things off out in Dayton, Ohio, with the legend, Ghosty. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
We are all great. The Flyers are, at time of this recording, you guys will be hearing this a little bit later, but the Flyers are coming off a huge win against Virginia Tech. So, you know, people know you by different things. Dayton fans know you as not only a huge Dayton fan yourself, but the son of one too. Your dad, a season ticket holder as well. People on Twitter know you by your name of Ghost McHistory. So I guess we'll just start things off. How'd you become such a big time Dayton fan, and how did your family just become maybe the royal family of Dayton basketball?
So I'll start with my dad. Has been going to games since like the 50s. He went to the old field house and everything. Like, his first season tickets were in the field house. Him and my grandparents would go to like every game. And then when the arena opened, he started off getting season tickets there. And then he started off up in the 400s and has slowly moved down to, you know, his seat now just behind the, not behind, but to the catty corner or whatever, to the players, the UD bench. And, you know, I grew up going to games, but that was also the dark days of Dayton basketball, the Jim O'Brien years that we really don't like to discuss. So that kind of was not a great time to get into basketball. So I didn't really get into the fandom until the Elite Eight run. And, you know, ever since then, I've been obsessed to the point where, you know, all I want to do is watch basketball.
So. Yeah, that's how we feel. Wonderful game, wonderful team to root for. So I guess we'll ask then, maybe something from the Elite Eight, something in the more recent present. Do you have a great kind of fan experience story to share with us?
Let me think. There's obviously the, you know, the 1920 run, especially like, was it the Davidson game when we closed out, you know, winning the conference outright and taking pictures out on the floor. That was pretty awesome. That's the best main thing I can think of right now. And then, probably the big thing I can think of right now.
I think we had Dickie V in the house that night too. That was the game that Dayton, I think, only missed like one 2-point shot the entire night. And
it was the first one. It was the first.
Yep.
Because my buddy and I were late getting to that game. So we missed like the first minute and a half. So the only 2-point shot that we didn't make was before we were in the arena or before we were in our seat. So you can blame us for missing that one, but who cares? We still, you know, beat the rocks off Davidson that game.
Yeah, I think we can give you credit for once you showed up, the Flyers turned it on. They knew they had to start playing better. So give you a little bit of credit for that one.
I'll take that.
another memory I have from that season, and this, I guess, kind of comes in the form of a question. You really entered into Twitter lore when you live streamed the second half of the Dayton North Texas game when ESPN Plus went out. And only area could see it.
It was actually the whole game because the second half was when I had like 9 viewers, and at that point I was just committed to it. But yeah.
Well, my question is, what had more views? That game at its peak on your, I believe it was Periscope, or just an average LaSalle game on ESPN Plus?
I hate to do this to the goal boys. I have to think it was that. That streaming, I think some people were just hopping on to see what was going on. I mean, I had players' parents thank me for streaming that game. It was wild. You know, I was supposed to go to that game too, but I was just like, you know what? I'm going to stay home and get some cleaning done. while watching the game, and then I was like, okay, I'll stream this for a minute or two while ESPN Plus gets their crap figured out. And then it took the entire first half. And the second half, I was like, all right, let's just leave this going. So, yeah, but I would definitely say I probably have more views. I probably have more views than the average LaSalle and probably also the average George Washington game.
It was definitely in the multiple hundreds at one point when I had it on. So at least more than a standard LaSalle game attendance.
Mm-hmm. Hey, they got that neon sign now, though. I think things are changing for the Explorers. But
and don't forget the smoke machines.
Yeah, I mean, what an environment. We need to get to a game at Golden Arena. Haven't made it there yet, but I mean, the improvements, the renovations they're making to that facility, I know that's what the Golden Boys have been asking for years now, and finally the school's listening to them a little bit.
I mean, with that neon, I might give UD Arena for the best conference upgrade, or great upgrades in the conference for the arenas.
So you mentioned the UD Arena upgrade. Mm-hmm. As a season ticket holder, what is missing from your perfect Dayton game experience? It can be something realistic that they could tweak, or it can be something just completely outlandish, like, I don't know, Taylor Swift has to sing the national anthem every night.
I'm not going to go with that. But, honestly, like, it's going to sound weird, but I'm not a big banner person, but they need to rehang the old banners they had up before the renovation. Even the NIT banners, it's really weird we don't have any banners up. Even meaningless NIT banners is better than bare walls. It just weirds me out now.
I want to try ESPN to be the events anti-VCU banner. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess no banners might be better than banners for our coaches' bowl ranking, so.
I just gotta, you know, Tyler, I need to give one complaint about the UD Arena game experience. I mean, it's amazing there. We've all been to a lot of games, but they don't give out real pizzas anymore, just coupons during the timeout, and that's kind of ridiculous. So I hope that makes a comeback someday.
Yeah, that's not even to blame on COVID, because they started doing that the year before.
It's terrible.
It's a sad experience for all who are just hoping for a hot Donato's pizza. So hopefully they're listening. Speaking of arenas, are there any other A10 venues that you've been looking to go to over the past few years?
You know, I've actually never been on a road trip. Like, I really want to go to Olean. I think the Caffeinasium could be a lot of fun to go to. And probably St. Louis. I mean, I don't really care if I ever go to, you know, Duquesne or Philadelphia schools or Davidson. The volleyball lines would just annoy me.
Well, the goal boys, they're going to be pissed after this.
Yeah, I mean,
your friendship is in trouble now.
I mean, in terms of just the arena, I would definitely go to the Tom Gola Aqua Center to hang out with the Gola boys and watch a game of basketball.
So I think, you know, speaking of some of the arenas across the conference, speaking of the Gola boys, some other people we've brought up, you know, you are a prominent figure on A10 Twitter, and that's why we brought you on here. But I'm just curious, who have been some of your favorite fan bases in general to interact with? Because I feel like really every team's got some good people representing them, but who is the best fans online, would you say?
See, I really like St. Louis, Bonaventure. And even though there's the whole rivalry, VCU fans are a lot of fun to interact with, especially during those games, because, you know, it gets wild. Like, you know, like Richmond, I know they have fans, but they're quiet. Same thing with Rhodey. Duquesne, I mean, the only Duquesne fan I really know is Johnny, and I love Johnny, but, you know, it's just one person. And then the Gola boys are great, and St. Joe's has a couple of people, but they don't have any, like, I guess Mill Fartelli is a newer guy, but, you know, they don't have any, like, bid accounts, and that's my favorite to interact with. They're the ones that are not just like, oh, yes, this is what the team's doing. I kind of like the bid accounts, obviously, because that's kind of what I am. I mean, it is what I am.
So, well, you know what? No, actually, we got to go. We got to go one more question about the Twitterverse. We'll omit this if you're really afraid that the person will take this the wrong way. But if you, who do you believe you are most likely to get into a giant Twitter spat with at some point this season?
You know, I really don't know. A certain more controversial A10 Twitter figures I actively don't follow, aka have blocked just to avoid anything. So,
well, Tori disappeared. No one knows where she is anymore. So,
yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I've had her blocked for years. Like, it's just, you could have been, it's just not fun. Like, you could take things that personal. I really don't know who I would get into a real spat with. And for some reason, I could see it being a Dayton fan. Actually, I don't know who, but I can just see me just one day getting really annoyed with some Dayton fan and getting into a spat with them.
Well, I could see that too. I think this might have been your tweet too, actually, because I remember how hilarious it was. But there's that Twitter account out there that it's a bot and it tweets a house divided and it just puts two random teams up. I think you were the one that put up two Dayton logos.
I added the two Dayton logos next to you there. That's the big thing is every season Dayton fans are fighting about how good we are, how bad we are, if we're good or if we're bad, or if we're too good. I mean, everything. So I'm just like, this was going to be a funny little thing, which that tweet kind of went off. So,
yeah, I mean, I think it was very appropriate because Dayton fans, especially the first couple games this year, just were self-destructing after every game.
Oh, yeah.
Luckily it's been better times more recently, but I think that was a really good one just because, you know, it's not just arguing with other teams fans, but happens a lot within the family too. So
yeah, I think, like, I know every fan base kind of will argue with themselves. I think Dayton fans are by far the biggest civil war at any given moment.
Well, because Dayton fans are like the actual Congress, where basically everyone's opinion is just way too far to the extreme of either end. And maybe about 10% of the fan base actually has a true grasp of reality.
Exactly. That's what how I feel it is. Like, it's either like, you know, we're so good every year, we should be in the NBA, don't you dare say anything bad about the team, or we're a Division V team, how dare you say anything good about the team? It's just like, oh my God, guys, this is, if you're this miserable, quit watching the games. Or if you think we're this good, actually watch a game.
And then there's the three people in the middle who are willing to joke that Dayton will lose to Fordham again this year, which is only a joke until it actually happens.
I am more concerned about that than I thought it would be, because Fordham's a lot better than I thought they would be. But I also will, right now, pencil in our, we lose it, LaSalle. Like, that's just a lock-in.
All right, so take it from Ghost and our guy Lil Bonna X. LaSalle will get upset wins over both Dayton and St. Bonaventure this year and probably go 2-16.
Yeah, probably. I mean, they'll probably beat George Washington, too. Like, I hate to do my boy Ryan Paleo like that, but George Washington stinks this year. Except for against Maryland, but Maryland's also not very good, so.
Yeah, they are awful. And you know what? Since we're already talking about this season, we might as well lead into our closing topic. This current Dayton Flyers season, just kind of give us your thoughts. I would say, most importantly, what you've found, what you've been pleasantly surprised by, what you've been disappointed by, and where you think this is all going.
So I had been pleasantly surprised by Malachi Smith. I knew he was going to be good. I did not think he was going to be as good as he is right now. Like, I think he is probably ahead of schedule where Scucci was. I mean, definitely Scucci wasn't playing 34 minutes or whatever Mally's playing right now as a freshman. And just, you know, how he's been able to lead the team. I am by far the most disappointed in Tumani Kamara. You know, we'd heard, oh, he's an SEC player. He's going to really come in. You know, big-time analysts were saying how big he was for Dayton. He's projected draft pick. And right now he should be behind Sissoko on the bench. I also want to throw out Sissoko, how pleasantly surprised I've been with him this season. Like, obviously, not, he's not like ever going to be a star player, but he knows his role. He's playing his role. When he gets his like 6-7 minutes a game, I'm no longer angry. I'm like, all right, you go in there and you do your thing. Hold on those rebounds. You can actually dunk the ball now. I'm not sure when you learn how to do that, but okay. And where this is all going, I think we're going to finish A10 top four. Like, we're going to get the double bye. And our losses will be to the, like, LaSalle, or we'll probably split with VCU. You know, we'll be a double bye. And I want to say, oh, yeah, yes, this is the A10, the Dayton team that finally wins the A10 like, tournament. But no, it's never going to happen. I refuse to believe it will ever happen. I didn't believe it was going to happen 2 years ago. I thought we were going to win the national title. But still, I don't believe we could ever win the A10 tournament ever again. So,
well, plenty to agree with there. We love Malachi Smith on this podcast. Also, the three of us right now, plus my dad, I believe, are the only four people who are mad when Mule Sissoko does not get his 8 minutes a game, because he knows how to catch the ball now, and he is an utter freight train down in the paint. And you know what? I couldn't agree more. I still believe that Dayton was not winning the 2020 Atlantic 10 tournament. So,
yeah, like I just didn't think it would happen. Like, I thought where we were, there was no sense in really playing our guys that many minutes in that tournament. Like, why risk Obi or Crutcher getting hurt in the A10 tournament, or, you know, Ibby or really anyone for one more trophy when we knew we were in the tournament? Lowest, what, probably a 2 seed. I wouldn't, if I was a Grant, I would have tried to get to Saturday, and then whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, could have still gotten them a 1 seed. So you mentioned all those guys, and you know, I don't think we can let you go without asking, who is your favorite Dayton player over the years?
Kyle Davis. Easy. Kyle Davis is definitely my favorite Dayton player. I mean, obviously, like, we've had some great ones, you know, but like, just the fact that he's like, he was a defensive first player, but he's still talked about by so many Dayton fans is crazy, because, you know, people don't usually care about your defensive players. They're usually like, oh yeah, they're good, but you love your offense players. So I love that he always brought energy. You know, he really couldn't shoot unless it was a clutch shot, and he was like Steph Curry, was just wild like that. So I just always loved him for that, you know. He wasn't a shooter, but he knew his role. He played his role perfectly. And, you know, he clamped some people down in his day.
Absolutely one of the greats. I'll still always remember him winning that VCU game at the end of the season. I'm now blurry as to whether it was 16 or 17, because Dayton beat them in the final week to win the title both of those years. But the one where 16. Kyle Davis took over in overtime is an all-time Flyer clutch performance.
It was 16. 17 we won by like 7 points or whatever, and that was the outright. But I remember where 16 was, because he turned the ball over, so VCU scored, and then he was the one who got that steal, so we could, you know, took it down, like laid it in, I think, and sealed the deal for us. Which was, I remember the interview with him afterwards. He's like, I messed up. I had to be the one to fix it. I'm like, yeah. King.
He was great that way. And Ghost, before we let you go, we got to close out with one holiday question in the spirit of Christmas. Christmas music, it's a lot of stuff from the 50s, the 60s, but there's a small handful of modern artists that have broken through, including your favorite, Taylor Swift. So Christmas morning, you're getting in the spirit, you're putting on that first song of the day. What T-Swift Christmas song are you kicking it off with?
All right. So this may not be an outright Christmas song, like, you know, her Christmas album or the Christmas Tree Farm song, but Tis the Damn Season off of, the album that came out after Folklore. I'm blanking them, but it's a very much a song about like the season itself. So. And then the next Christmas song I'm listening to is Christmas in Hollis by Run DMC. I just want to throw it out there because I've been listening to that song a lot today.
Was not expecting that to come right after the Taylor Swift, but you do you, Ghosty.
I will, trust me.
So if anyone is somehow listening to this pod and not following your delightful Twitter account, where do they find you?
Just Ghost, Ghost, MC, History, History.
It's great.
It's a Twitter machine.
Great Twitter account to follow. Thank you for joining us, Ghosty, and enjoy the holidays.
Oh, thank you for having us. Thank you for having me. Yeah, you guys have a great holiday too.
All right, we are now joined by another very special guest. Maybe the single most well-known fan in the A10 right now because of his amazing hat. Dom Greco, a.k.a. Captain Beer. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me on, guys. Thank you.
So you have been really a fan sensation for the past few years. I think you started out just kind of getting some loose Twitter notoriety. Now we see you on TV at least once a game every time ESPN gets a Bonnies game. So just really simply, how did this come about? What is the Captain Beer origin story?
It really just started as a joke between me and my buddies. I bought the hat my freshman year of college at a Spirit Halloween store down in Olean, you know, just trying to find a costume to wear out one of the nights for Halloween weekend. And it was like $25. I looked at it, I was like, you know, it'd be a good out, like a good hat to wear, like nothing big, nothing expensive or anything. Good hat to wear out one of the nights. And I ended up not wearing it at all that weekend. It was just sitting in my closet. And I don't even remember what game it was. I want to say it was the second or third game of the year. And it was a home game. And my friend Eric, I'm pretty sure, goes to me and goes, Dom, like, you have to wear the hat. It'll be funny. Just do it for one game only, and like never to wear it again. Like, I'm not one to like draw attention to myself, right? So he's like, just wear it for a game. It'll be funny. It'll probably be on ESPN Plus, like in the background or whatever. And so I wear it to the game, and we win. And I don't do anything different. I'm just myself, win the game. I'm very superstitious. So once it happens, I got to wear it again. And of course, my freshman year is the year to the tourney run, and we didn't go off to the best start, but there was losses in there, but I just kept having to wear the hat. And then later on in the year, a cafeteria, a Hickey dining hall worker comes up to me and goes, are you the one that wears the beer hat? I go, yeah. She goes, I love the hat. We all love your hat. And she goes, we always hear you at the game. Like, we could hear you screaming. Because, like, just since I was in high school, like, I just yell loud at the other players. I yell at them, I'll start chants, whatever. It's what I've done. I did it in high school. Did the same thing, and I wasn't wearing a beer hat. But it just kind of stuck with alumni and the fans in the Riley Center. And then I realized it started to take off when I missed a game because I was sick. And I was actually in the hospital because I had a fever, like a really high fever. My buddy Eric goes, Dom, I'm going to wear your hat. Like, you can't be there. Like, it's got to be worn. Right, tradition now, like every game. And I go, yeah, fine, wear it. Well, turns up we lost the game and alumni and fans weren't happy that I sent an imposter. And that got back to me. I was like, wait, people like really know about this. And then the funniest part is we go to Brooklyn. I still don't get how big it is. And we're walking into the Barclays Center. And I just walk down the aisle and we just kind of look over the floor. And I hear two old ladies behind me and they go, oh my God, it's him. And I like turn around like, it's who? Go, you're beer hat guy. And I go at this point, like, what is going on? And of course, that was the game where Barstool Big Cat tweeted me out, A10 Talk tweeted him out, and everything just blew up from there.
So I personally had always thought between the hat and the big, thick beard that you've been rocking the past few years, that you were an adult, that you were like someone in their late 20s. So did you have to use a fake ID to purchase a beer mug as a college freshman?
No, I did not. Luckily, I didn't. Luckily, I did not. That would have been bad if I did.
Because I feel like this would not have gone, this might not have gone so well at a lot of tighter schools.
100%.
Bonaventure letting you have it is honestly, like, I'm not sure Dayton would have let an 18-year-old get away with doing that.
It gets even better than this. The Captain Beer, the name, comes from, I guess, probably the second or third game I wore it. Security guard comes up to me and goes, "How you doing, Captain?" He goes, "Get it, Captain Morgan." Captain Morgan's like, "Can't we go, Captain Beer?" Because my buddy's like, "Oh, you're beer guy," and then he security guard from St. Bonaventure comes and he goes, "What's up, Captain? How you doing?" And I just ran Captain Beer from there.
So to this point, you've been doing this for 4 years now. What's kind of the coolest thing that's happened to you as Captain Beer?
I think a lot of stuff. I think from, I'm going to say two things. From Barstool Big Cat, because I followed Barstool and Big Cat. I'm a big fan of Big Cat personally. When he tweeted me out and he said legend, that was awesome. My friends, that was crazy. And then from that, alumni from St. Bonaventure Venmoing me money. Right, I got like $130 from alumni on Venmo from that tweet. And that was shocking to me. But I think that might be second now, because in Dayton's championship game, right, all the St. Bonaventure, I don't know if you guys were there, but after we won, all the Bonnies fans kind of went down to the hoop. And I was one of them. And Matt Pupano, he's the director of basketball operations, I guess he saw me in the crowd, grabs a championship t-shirt from the court, comes up to me and tosses me one. So I think just like that happening, like getting one of those t-shirts from the floor was pretty sick.
Awesome. Feels like you're a member of the team pretty much at this point, since we're already seeing you at all the games. But, you know, one thing I really wanted to ask about, we saw a video. I want to say this was tweeted by the official St. Bonaventure men's basketball account, but you made it down to the Charleston Classic, which the Bonnies won.
Yes.
And I want to say, was it the championship game against Marquette?
Yeah. Where yes, it was.
You got to fire up the Bonnie faithful a little bit. How did that go down? How did you get on the court for that game?
At this point, I mean, in Charleston, we were there. I was there all weekend. And Thursday, I don't know how, I don't know why, but someone took a photo, a photographer took a photo of me. And that ended up being like in the Charleston newspaper. And it was like the headline was like, "Bonnies take over like Charleston when they're playing Clemson" or something like that. And like one of the photos is just me. And so I had people like coming up to me from like, not even Bonaventure fans, other reporters. And then Thursday, a reporter interviewed me for a Twitter video. So I guess like they just started to figure out there's something there. And I walked into the arena Sunday night, and I'll be honest, I had a few drinks. And the two people in suits come up and he's like, "You're doing a dance competition." And I go, "I can't dance." You know, no, like you have to do it. And I'm like, I mean, I'll try, like, all right, I'll do it. I signed like a waiver. At this point, I'm thinking, all right, it's probably like halftime or something. Under 16 timeout comes, they come and grab me, like, "You're at under 12. I go, "Oh, great." So at this point, I'm just like on the court, I'm like doing dabs, I don't even know what I'm doing. And then they say, "Whoever gets the cloud the route, the crowd the loudest wins a $300 speaker." I'm like, well, this is easy. I just started pumping my arms up, running around a little bit, and the place went wild.
That's amazing. Yeah, I remember seeing that video come out. It's like, what a perfect opportunity, because, I mean, the Bonnie fans, as we all know, they travel so well.
Yeah, I mean, down in Charleston, the amount of fans that we had down there was amazing.
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
But even as, like, I think, Tyler, you said it, like, other schools wouldn't tweet that out, right? But I think I saw, like, 2 days later, it's like, Bonaventure men's account had, like, three different tweets about it.
Yeah, I mean, like, and I guess I'll keep ripping on the Dayton student section here, since we know it from experience. They won't even let you bring a beer into the bottom half of the student section. So they seem to not have wanted a 19-year-old, or I guess now by the time the Charleston thing happened, you were actually an of legal drinking age man, but
yeah,
they certainly would not have tweeted out a video of one of their students running around with a giant beer mug on their head. So the most important question that didn't get covered in your story, though, you won the speaker, right?
I did win the speaker. I completely, it happened. I walked to the court. The ref said something like, nice dance moves. I start walking back to where, like, we made a mini student section for the tournament. And the guy comes, catching me. I was like, you forgot your speaker. I'm like, oh, they gave me this big box. I lost it for a little bit, but we found it later that night.
You're also burying the lead that the ref made a comment to you.
Yeah, I would just, we were walking off the court, and he just, like, comes up to me and goes, love the dance moves and love the hat. I've had a few refs, like, actually, especially in Charleston, so we were kind of, like, right there, and the refs were like, I was like, I'll buy you a beer, and, like, I like the hat, just jokes like that.
So, you also mentioned earlier you're a big yeller in the student section, and I assume that you have a nice booming voice, so you combine that with the hat. Is there anyone specifically that you can name that you feel like you've actually gotten under their skin from the student section?
I don't think, like, me personally, but I remember sophomore year as a student section as a whole, Duquesne, so it was the overtime game. We ended up losing, but Duquesne players had to be escorted off the court by state police because they were chirping back at us after the game. It was, like, it got bad. It was kind of, like, sad to see the Duquesne player, like, that we got in their heads that bad, but they wouldn't, like, leave the court after the hand. Like, they didn't even shake our hand, the players' hands. They just kept chirping at us. And the state police are like, you guys just got to get off the court because it was bad.
Was that the game, like, a ball or a balloon got thrown on the court at the end of the game?
That was it was a free throw.
Yep.
Just the athletic department gave out, like, balloons to wave or whatever, and it just slipped out of the kid's hand. Like, didn't do it on purpose. It just slipped and just happened to get to the court somehow.
Yeah.
No, that was the same game. I mean, when I say we got into Duquesne's players' heads, it was – we really got in their heads that game. They were not happy with us.
Ever any comment as a Duquesne fan?
I'm flashing back to that game. I remember that. And that was honestly, like, as funny as it is that you say they had to bring the state police, at that moment, I kind of considered that the Bonnie student section won the game for Duquesne because they got that technical for throwing the stuff on the court.
Probably. Not wrong.
So I know we still got a long season left to go, and we'll get to that in a second. But just as we continue to kind of cover the origins of the most famous hat in the A-10, just kind of looking ahead, can you give us a little hint into the future? Do you live on as Captain Beer post-graduation? Could you maybe be looking an eye out for a worthy younger student to take the hat from you? What are we going to see next year?
We're definitely looking for another student, hopefully, to see if we got to find the right person. But I'm definitely looking to hand it off. And it was actually one of the assistant athletic directors approached me with the idea of handing the hat off to underclassmen to keep the tradition going, to keep, like, a leader of the wolf pack there. So, I mean, every game I'm kind of looking around. I mean, it's not like my first thought or my second or third, but I could definitely see at certain times trying to find, pinpoint different people that could maybe continue on as Captain Beer.
So, hey, yeah, younger Bonnies, get ready to prove that you're worthy.
And, yes.
Honestly, with all that the Bonn Athletic Department has done with you this year, I know they did the Professor Beer video earlier in the year, try to get students excited, get season tickets and that kind of stuff.
In my sophomore year, they even did like a mini documentary on about the origins of Captain Beer, and they released that.
I could see them turning this into a reality show. Maybe you yourself pinpoint like three proper candidates and they have to go through certain trials.
Like a training camp or tryouts.
Yeah. It's some sort of you have to run suicides while you just whip basketballs at them, and who can ever dodge the basketballs is the one who's truly worthy. There's an idea here for someone more creative to unearth.
That would be funny. That would be funny.
So we'll pull it back now to this year that's going on. Obviously, Bonaventure comes into the year with a ton of hype,
they lose some tough games. Like losing to West Virginia and UConn is absolutely not something to. Wait, I don't know why I'm thinking.
West Virginia Tech.
Yeah. And UConn played West Virginia right before they played the Bonnies. Yeah. That's what it was. So losing to UConn and Virginia Tech is not exactly something to be ashamed about. The Northern Iowa loss was bad. Let's just be honest. It was a wishy-washy non-con for the Bonnies. They're still in a position. If they win this league, they're going to the NCAA tournament without a doubt. Personally, I still believe that they are clearly in the top four. I haven't done my full power rankings yet. I'm going to have them probably at one or two still. Dom, how do you feel? How do you feel going into January and February here for this conference season?
I'm not going to lie. Losing to UConn and Virginia Tech both, it hurts. Yeah, I mean, it really hurts. Because of that, it does feel like the out-of-conference was a failure in ways. And, I mean, SB1 Furled, he said it too. You had to win one of those games, even coming to the season, even without Kyle. You had to win one of those games. We didn't, and we got blown out by Virginia Tech. It wasn't even close. So that hurts, but we have five starting seniors, right? They've been through it before. They've been through A-10 play, right? A-10 play, it's different than non-conference in my eyes. So I'm not that worried. No, I'm not worried at all, really. I have full confidence that Mark Schmidt and the five seniors, they're going to figure it out. I know they've been practicing the last few days. I think today or tomorrow is their last practice before they get a little Christmas break. But I think once the players get home and they kind of relax, and I mean, they're hungry, right? They come off too bad. UConn was a bad loss by 10 points. We were in there at halftime. I was there. The refs were horrible. But coming off the Virginia Tech loss, they're going to be hungry, and I think we'll be okay.
I mean, I don't know. I think for the Bonnies, like, this is the time of year where everyone's starting to freak out, and people are, like, pointing fingers saying they're frauds. They're not who we thought they were. But I think they're going to get Kyle Lofton back at full strength. Like, clearly he didn't play well against Virginia Tech, but I think that's some good optimism for St. Bonaventure. There's no reason to, like, panic about the conference season, even though the non-conference didn't go maybe as great as expected, but still, like, won a tournament, too. I mean, the Charleston Classic's not bad at all, so there's some good wins on the resume.
And the way I look at it is it's a Mark Schmidt team, right? I feel like when was the last time we really had a good out-of-conference cut? Like, we came in A-10 with looking good out of our conference. We always struggled out of conference, but Mark Schmidt teams, they get going. They get in the groove in A-10 play. He knows how to coach in the A-10, and I think we'll be just fine.
I want to say, too, like, you have to go back probably 6 or 7 years for the last time St. Bonaventure wasn't top five in the A-10. I mean, they're just very consistent. Yeah. So, now, should be a good test for them getting into the conference season. I know they get Dayton early, so hopefully I'm going to be at that game.
But I have a feeling that's going to be our first game we played 8 times.
Yeah, and who knows how that's all going to go right now. But, no, should be a great conference season, though, hopefully.
So, obviously, the ideal scenario for the Bonnies here is you go 15-3, 16-2 in conference, comfortably get yourself into the NCAA tournament. Hope that the committee screws up and sticks them in either Buffalo or Pittsburgh for the first round games, which I can't think of any city other than those two that could possibly draw more Bonnies fans to it. But they obviously could end up anywhere. And so our final question to you, how far do you think we could see the Captain Beer Hat make its way this year? Not how far in the tournament. How far would you either be willing to fly to, or maybe, who knows, maybe the Bonnie's athletic department could help sponsor you to get you out to one of these games.
I think almost anywhere on the East Coast and into the Midwest a little bit.
I think we can mark down Indianapolis and Greenville, South Carolina. Then
we tried to drive to Indy last year for the tournament, but there were no tickets available for Bloomington at the Assembly Hall. So the Indy is definitely in there, and South Carolina. I mean, I just did South Carolina, so we did it in one night. So I could do it again.
I also definitely think you could talk the athletic department into getting you out to Milwaukee too.
Maybe. That's, maybe alumni can help me out too.
That's 5 out of 8 there. Oh yeah. Yeah. Go tell the Bonaventure alums. We'll get Captain Beer. If the Bonnies end up far enough away, we'll have to call on the Bonaventure alums to get Captain Beer out there.
I'll be honest. We're coming out with some merch. Captain Beer merch. So if people buy the merch, you know, the farther I can go.
Hey, name image right now. Yes. Get that NIL deal for Captain Beer. Start getting
we're
that
working on
it. Shirts.
We are yeah. working on it.
Gonna sell enough replica hats to get you all the way to San Diego. Maybe even New Orleans for the Final Four. Who knows?
We've been talking about that since freshman year. 2022 New Orleans, all the way.
I believe someone actually wrote us a mailbag question. So our freshman year of the pod was the same as your freshman year of Bonaventure. And I believe that someone wrote us a mailbag question either that year or the year after. What would have to happen for Bonaventure to make the Final Four with the Kyle Lofton Asuna Shunahi group? And, you know, I could still believe it. It was been a terrible last 2 weeks, but I think we had said that like 100-some teams had to be shut down by the FBI. It doesn't have to be that way anymore.
Yeah.
Turnaround could be coming for the Bonnies.
Definitely. I hope so. Captain Beer New Orleans would be something else.
Yep. And so, Captain Beer, we've had a great time talking to you. Where, if anyone actually out there doesn't know who you are yet, they want to see all of your the crazy things you're doing at these games, where can they find you on Twitter?
So my Twitter is going to be Dom_Greco, GRECCO.
Yep, and you can also find him occasionally showing up on the Bonaventure official men's basketball account. So be on the lookout for that. Thank you for joining us, and happy holidays, Captain Beer.
Thank you, guys. Happy holidays.
All right, that does it for our special holiday fan edition of the 3Bid League podcast. A big thank you to both Ghost McHistory and Captain Beer, two the best fans to follow on Twitter in this conference. Be sure to do that if you haven't already. And also, if you enjoyed this pod, be sure to give us 5 stars on iTunes. Leave us a review. Send us any comments you got to our Twitter @3BidLeaguePod. Everybody have a happy holidays and stay safe out there.